Hello again, I'm Aaron Alney. Doctors get big money from drug companies and medical device makers for promotional speeches and consulting and dining out. How much does that influence their professional judgment and their treatment of patients? We'll talk about that later on To the Point. First, Proposition 45 on the November ballot, just over 4 weeks away. California's elected insurance commissioner regulates the rates you pay for insurance on your home and your car. Prop 45 would give him the same power to regulate some health insurance. Here's a spot for TV by supporters.
Health insurance companies are pushing patients out of hospitals to save themselves money. Still, they raise your rates.
They're cutting back on nurses and cutting prescriptions. Still, they raise your rates.
What's worse, no federal or state agency can stop them. But Proposition 45 will hold them accountable.
When you're in the hospital, you need a nurse on your side. When you deal with insurance companies, you need 45 on your side. Put the brakes on rates. Yes, on 45.
Again, the Nurses Association supports Prop 45. Here's a spot against Prop 45.
Controlling health costs is important for our business.
That's why we got coverage through the new independent commission. It's good coverage and saved us money.
But along comes Prop 45, giving one Sacramento politician the power to override the commission. 45 lets the politician take campaign money from special interests, then do their bidding instead of consumers.
That's why small business and healthcare organizations across California oppose 45.
It's just too much power for one politician.
We're voting no on 45.
In a moment, we'll hear from advocates for and against Prop 45. First, here is Christopher Cadalago, who's a political reporter for the Sacramento Bee. Hi, Christopher. Good to have you with us.
Good to be here.
One would be confused if all one got were those TV ads that we just heard. What's behind Prop 45?
So Prop 45, one of its main supporters, along with the consumer group, Consumer Watchdog, based out of Santa Monica, is Insurance Commissioner Dave Jones, a Democrat, who is pushing to do this, saying that under the current environment, there needs to be sort of a check on how much rates can increase, and this would allow him and his office to assess rate changes and make the call on whether they should be able to go through or not.
But in the spot against Prop 45, we heard a reference to an independent commission that's already doing that. What's that?
So the independent commission that's referenced in the ad is actually the board of Covered California, which is the state health insurance exchange. It's charged with carrying out the Federal Affordable Care Act, better known as Obamacare. And that board, which is an appointed board by the governor and the legislature, determines the rates and benefits that folks get through the exchange in what advocates for the initiative kind of describe as a closed-door process. So they make the determination of what the rates will be, what the benefits will be, what the plans will look like, and then they announce those. And right now, those take effect, essentially. And folks go in and purchase those plans. Under the initiative, those rates could either be challenged, or if they are over a 7% increase, the insurance commissioner would be able to review them and determine whether they are fair or not.
Prop 45 would also allow interveners. What are they?
So that's another issue that's come up here. It's basically a third-party challenger who could come in and say, we don't like this this rate, have their actuaries look at it and challenge it, essentially, try to change it in some way, get it lowered, get it raised, most of the time, I would say lowered. There is discussion among the state exchange, Covered California, over what impact this initiative would have on their operation. And that's where a lot of the political debate has occurred, sort of how would this impact the exchange, and would it? And I think that's where you see a lot of disagreement.
The board of Covered California, on an individual basis, has indicated that they think it would interfere with their business, but they elected not to take an official position.
They did. Their staff came out with a number of analyses with sort of a list of potential impacts. One of them, that the initiative would interfere with their role in negotiating rates with health insurers. It could possibly lead to delays caused by these third-party rate challengers, you know, unforeseen type effects on federal subsidies that folks receive, risk of plans even pulling out of the program, a whole sort of list of concerns. Now, there's also a counter to all of these. Insurance Commissioner Dave Jones has basically said that the exchange doesn't really have the political or any sort of muscle to impose its will over these insurance companies. He said he can establish rules, write new rules that allow for more time to meet the timeline, so that these things could the rates could take effect. It can't affect federal subsidies because they're locked in for a year. These are all arguments he's making, and he also sort of counters that you won't see these four major insurers that make up the almost all of the exchange pull out of the system because, you know, there's just too much riding on it, and that argument is sort of specious, and that's coming from the commissioner.
And the people we're talking about who are affected by this are people whose companies don't provide insurance for them, who work for smaller companies who are on their own. Is that correct?
Yeah, these are people who are signing up for the exchange. We know now under the Affordable Care Act that the health care is obviously now a mandate. You pay a penalty if you don't have it. The exchange has signed up more than 1.2 million Californians. It's opening up soon for the second year. And I should note that this year's rates have come in at an average of 4.5% increase overall. And, actually the opponents of this initiative are pointing to that increase and saying that it's relatively low and basically saying that the exchange is working and that this initiative is not needed. And, you know, the other side is arguing, well, they sort of artificially kept their rates low for this year as a sort of way to, not shock people over this, and that, you know, after if this were to fail, that after that, you know, the sky's the limit is the argument they're making.
Okay, Chris Catalago, again, political reporter for the Sacramento Bee. Let's hear now from advocates for both sides of Prop 45. First, here is Jamie Court, who is president of Consumer Watchdog of Santa Monica, put Prop 45 on the ballot. Good to have you with us.
Good to be with you, Warren.
Why do we need it?
Well, look, health insurance is not affordable. There are 1.2 million people who get coverage, and 80% of them get it subsidized through Covered California, but there are 6 million individuals and small business owners who are covered under Prop 45, and they don't have protections. Health insurance companies in California who are opposed to this initiative, four health insurance companies have raised $37 million against us, they don't have oversight. They can raise rates. And they can charge excessive rates, and no one in the state of California can say a rate is excessive and reject it. 35 other states give their regulators the power to reject unreasonable rates, and in California we don't. In fact, there are 1 million small business employees who face $250 million in rates that regulators in the state looked at and said were excessive, but they couldn't stop. And that was in the last couple of years. So we don't have an affordable insurance for people who buy it on their own, for small business owners. We've been price gouged. And the insurance companies who are against us, the four insurance companies who control 94% of the covered California market, would have you believe that this isn't about trying to get affordable insurance. It's about this covered California bureaucracy. Well, the reality is, covered California is like a brokerage. It brings products to market, but the price is set by contract, and we need the power that exists in 35 other states to require health insurance companies to open their books, get approval before raising rates. And that's what Prop 45 is all about.
Okay.
It's transparency, accountability, and sunshine on that rate-making process in the same way we do it for auto and home insurance, and it's worked so well.
Okay, Jamie Court, president of Consumer Watchdog, which put Prop 45 on the ballot. Micah Weinberg is senior policy advisor at the Bay Area Council. That's a policy advisory group backed by large employers in that region. Micah Weinberg, welcome to you.
Thank you so much.
Why is it that the four insurance companies are paying as much as they are, $37 million, to prevent this? How's it going to hurt them?
I think that the concern is not that it will hurt health insurers specifically. The concern that's been raised by Nancy Pelosi's office, by George Miller's office, and now echoed by the Los Angeles Times, the Sacramento Bee, and the San Francisco Chronicle, that all said the same thing, and that is that this will undermine health reform in the state. When the proponents talk about the 35 other states that have rate regulation, none of them have this sort of a rate regulation set up, and in particular, none of them have the intervener system that Consumer Watchdog, the funder of the initiative, makes millions off of being the intervener in these cases in car insurance. And so there are a lot of organizations that have actually supported rate regulation in the past, and even papers that have supported rate regulation in the past, that call this initiative what it really is, which is a money-making scam that undermines health reform.
Is there any way to regulate rates now in California?
There's no value in regulating the rates in this way, and here's the reason. If you look at the rate increases that have been proposed in exchanges for year two, and this isn't just in California, this is across the United States, the increases are actually higher in those states with rate regulation than they are in states without rate regulation. Now, that's not because of the rate regulation. It's because health insurance, we don't control health insurance costs through regulation. We control it through making sure that people get the most effective care, and that's what Covered California and the rest of us in the pro-health reform community are working on every day.
Michael Weinberg against Prop 45. Back to Jamie Court, who's in favor of it. Are you, in fact, among those who have been interveners, are you ready to make millions of dollars when you can go to court over regulation of rates?
Well, let me set one thing straight. We're not talking to the insurance companies here, but two of the health insurance companies have contributed $24 million against us. The CEOs sit on Michael Weinberg's board for Kaiser and for Blue Shield. They are his members. They should be here sitting with us. And what they don't want to answer is exactly what we've done with auto insurance. Auto insurance in the state is lower now than it was in 1988 when we passed this auto insurance rate regulation that is the model for health insurance regulation. And a key part of it is this intervener process. We have challenged since 2002, just like you can with electricity rates, rate hikes by auto, home, business insurers. And we have stopped $3 billion in rate hikes that would have gone into effect, but for the fact that consumer groups could challenge them. For our troubles, the insurance companies have paid $8 million to outside experts, actuaries, attorneys, and those on our side. So we've saved $3 billion in rates that would have gone to effect. And the insurance companies have had to spend $8 million to pay our costs. That's why they don't want this initiative, because we will lower health insurance rates, and we will make sure that the health insurance rates that have gone up five times faster than the rate of inflation over the last 10 years, that rate of growth will slow, and we believe we can even bring down rates to the tune of about $1 billion a year. And we know this because Consumers Union, for instance, did some research on the rate hikes that are proposed for 2015 that no one has the power to reject because there's no rate regulation. They have said the Blue Shield and Blue Cross rate hikes are unjustified. They're unjustified because Blue Shield is sitting on investment reserves that are 1,600% greater than the state requires, billions more. They have unrealistic projections of medical claims costs, and they have lavish expenditures such as a skybox at the 49er Stadium. And Blue Shield's a not-for-profit company. It's also on Mr. Weinberger's board, along with the 49ers on the board. So the reality is the companies are price gouging. And in these 35 other states, we do have states where we have exchanges. In eight states, there are the same type of exchanges we have in California with Covered California, and the insurance commissioner has the power to reject rates. And in Oregon, the exchange rates that were negotiated were lowered in half by the regulator in that state. We've had the same situation recently in Connecticut. We've had the same situation in New York.
Okay, let me go back to Michael Weinberg on this. What do you say to the argument that regulation or the rate increases have been relatively low for the past year because the people on your board and other insurance companies are waiting to really jack them up if, in fact, Prop 45 fails? And how do you respond to Mr. Court's argument that in California there are interveners who can act on behalf of consumers to prevent that from happening?
So first, I want to make sure that your listeners understand his answer to the last question, which is that, yes, my organization will make millions if this initiative passes. But to answer your question, we can cherry-pick examples of states that fit with our theory that it works or it doesn't work. What I've done is actually look at states all across the United States, and it turns out that the rate regulation simply is not associated with lower health insurance increases. Health insurance is not like car insurance. In car insurance, we work into the premium just about everything that we know about your risk as a driver for a car. And health insurance, thanks to the passage of the Affordable Care Act, which Prop 45 would undermine, we don't allow health insurers to take health status into account. And we've been working really hard to set up this system. And again, even if you like rate regulation, there's no reason to like Prop 45 because it is this money-making scam for organizations like Consumers Watchdog, and it undermines what we're trying to accomplish in the state.
All right. It's a complicated measure, as our listeners now know. It is worth a good deal of study before the vote takes place. Thanks very much to Jamie Court for Consumer Watchdog, who is in favor of Prop 45, Micah Weinberg of the Bay Area Council, who is opposed to Prop 45.
Thank you.
Thanks.
In a moment, Ciclovia will roll into East Los Angeles this Sunday for the first time. We'll talk about that with Saul Gonzalez on Which Way LA.
Subscribe to the Which Way LA podcast at kcrw.com or download the KCRW app, available anywhere podcasts are found and on all mobile devices.
Warren Olney back with Which Way LA. Sunday will be the 10th edition of Ciclovia. That's advertised now, not just as a way to clear the streets for bicycles, but also to make way for pedestrians and promote community spirit. KCRW producer Saul Gonzalez joins me in the studio, a veteran of two past Ciclovias and a student of the next one. It's good to talk with you.
I'm embedded in Ciclovia.
I've done Ciclovia.
It twice. So just the basics, Warren. As you said, this is the 10th one. This is the first one that takes us outside of the city of L.A. It goes into county property, L.A. County property. It's going to journey 10 miles from Echo Park east to the East L.A. Civic Center with branches that go into Chinatown, into the historic core where all those great theaters are in Broadway in the central city area of L.A. And, you know, there's a lot riding on this one. It's going to take riders to a new part of the city, a part of the city that many of them may not be familiar with. I sat down a couple of days ago with Aaron Paley. He's the co-founder of Ciclovia and the guy who runs the organization now. And this is what he had to say about this ride and what's to come.
What's important about this one is that we are showing that this idea is bigger than the city of LA. We're showing that Ciclovia is going to be all throughout the county of Los Angeles. You're going to start seeing open streets events that are similar to Ciclovia, but under different names, happening under different management in different parts of the city, in different parts of the county, excuse me.
You have offspring now.
We have offspring, and I talk about it like the farmer's market model. 25 years ago, there was the Santa Monica Farmer's Market, and then came the Hollywood Farmers Market. And those were the two ancestors. And now every neighborhood in the county of LA wants its own farmers market. That's what's going on with this project.
So this isn't any longer the idea of just going from one place to another.
No, it's not. I mean, the idea here, the big idea behind Ciclovia is to get us to think about the urban space in new ways, and for people to really take their street back from the cars, to show that, you know, our streets and boulevards are avenues. Yes, they're mostly there for the automobile. There's no getting around that. But they can also do other things for people who want to travel on foot or by bicycle or by skating or what have you. And Ciclovia now has reached a point where, you know, it's a going concern, Warren. You know, 4 years ago when the first one happened, it was let's see what happens. Let's do this once and see what happens. And it went well. And now they have four or five or six planned for the future. After this Sunday, there's one planned, the first one for South LA at the end of this year. And as you just heard Mr. Paley say, there are others planned, sired by Ciclovia, that are going to be held in other parts of the city and other parts of the county.
What about the cars that have to live with this?
Well, there you go. I mean, let's talk about that side of it. And that is for every lover of Ciclovia, somebody who's on a bike or cycling it or running it, there are the people caught in traffic. And I've experienced both sides. You know, I've done it twice myself as a cyclist. It's been great. But I've also been at a Ciclovia roadblock waiting for the cyclist to go by and saying words I can't say on the air to you. I talked to Aaron Paley about that, and this is what he had to say.
You can cross Ciclovia unlike the marathon. There are places to cross, and there are designated spaces that streets that go across the route pretty much every mile. So you're never going to be detoured too greatly. You should definitely know about it. You should plan for it, just like you plan for any other thing in Los Angeles. And I hope that as few people as possible are stuck in traffic and frustrated. And I hope that that's greatly outweighed by the tens of thousands of people who are enjoying the city in a whole new way.
Now, going into East LA and out of the city of Los Angeles for the first time, as Mr. Paley indicated, has brought up a new concern, and it has something to do with gentrification. How does that critique come into play?
Well, there are some who believe that where Ciclovia goes, gentrification will inevitably follow because you are introducing, and it's part of its mission, right, is to introduce people to parts of the city they've never been to, and certainly they've never been to on foot or on a cycle. And the thinking is people go there, they see it, they like what they see, and they say, well, maybe I'll come back and I'll invest here. Maybe I will buy a home here. And I think that's why, and particularly this ride, you have a lot of conversation about gentrification connected to this ride to East LA and to the Boyle Heights neighborhood, because there's already a lot of buzz about gentrification to come in that part of the city.
So the suggestion is then that the people in Ciclovia are people who are more prosperous than the people in the neighborhoods they're driving through?
Well, Ciclovia would like to say we represent the city in all of its diversity, rich, poor, and everything in between. Sure. They're out there on these routes and enjoying it equally. And they will also say, we're not about gentrification. We're about opening up the streets for new and novel experiences. So they say, what they would say is that's not really what we do, but it could be an outcome. I mean, I could very well see someone, you know, riding through Boyle Heights or East LA, maybe the first time they've been there, they see some of those beautiful homes in that part of town saying, well, maybe I will come back and plop down $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 for a home, or I'll open up a store here.
Relatively inexpensive at the moment and a very attractive place.
Yeah. Another concern, just very quickly about Ciclovia, is what struck me. I was talking to Aaron Paley about what concerns him, what's been a big problem. He says logistically, it's actually gone pretty well, that all of the county agencies and the city agencies have worked well together, all of the stakeholders you have to consult when you close down miles of street. But his concern is safety, that, you know, there's tens of thousands of people on the street at any one time. Fortunately, so far, there have been no big problems. But, you know, you want to make it as safe and secure as possible, because it just takes out one incident, right? It takes out one bad incident to give Ciclovia a real black eye.
It's also kind of a trip, if I can use that term, to walk or even bike down amongst all the skyscrapers and the other parts of Los Angeles, and then into this remarkable neighborhood of East LA.
I will say this. I mean, I don't want to be a propagandist or a marketer for Ciclovia, but I've done it a couple of times as we talked, and it is a very unusual way to experience the city. If people haven't done it, I suggest they try it, because, it, you know, being out on the open road, it's kind of a forbidden fruit thing to go, and you know, like, wow, I'm out here on the street and there's no traffic,
right.
And it, you get a little light buzz from that, being an Angeleno and so accustomed to having the cars usually where you're riding your bicycle.
But go home on time.
Go home on time, because you don't want to get stuck toward the end of Ciclovia. I think they start opening up the streets, like, you know, at 4 o'clock. Or you don't want to be miles away from where your car is or your other transportation as they start to open the streets. So do factor in time to get back to the point A or the point B that you started from.
Joel Gonzalez, thanks as always.
Thank you. Good cycling or running or walking out there, people. And motorists, what can I say?
Remember, you can join the conversation on our Which Way LA Facebook page. In a moment, does marketing by doctors get in the way of their medicine? On To The Point.